start the first class in the new year. Wish you all a very happy Krishna conscious new year. Hope this year we'll come more closer to Krishna by doing practices more sincerely. All of us. So anybody have made any Krishna conscious resolutions? You want to share? Nothing?
Read one verse and one
purport. Every day.
Every day.
Very good.
Probably the complete Prabhupada Lila Amrita this year.
Oh.
They started long ago.
And
it's
a complete?
Lila Amrita.
Very nice.
So which stage, Mother, is this, where this land, like where this Lila Amrita lands in the hierarchy, like in all the books? Let's say we have a Bhagavad Gita, then we have a Bhagavatam. And these are how they are covering.
Okay, that is that's not part of like curriculum systematic, but actually in some temples they have a prerequisite for initiation. They need to read Sri Prabhupada Lilamrita completely.
What he has explained in
Lilamrita is actually biography of Sri Prabhupada. Like how Satsar Das Goswami is Prabhupada's disciple. He was like more intimate with Prabhupada. He watched every moment of him. So he wrote the biography. So from the time, like actually from childhood he covered, maybe from what he heard, I don't know how he gathered that information. Then, like in the West, how he got in disciple. The whole thing actually, it's very, very sweet. Like Prabhupada's journey. Like what hurdles he faced and you know how he defeated other people, everything is there. The two volumes. Very, it's like nice story time, you know, very inspiring actually. You know, if you want to have faith, you know, firm faith, actually that's the book we should read. How much Srila Prabhupada endeavored to establish this movement. When we know that, then we feel we don't take it for granted. You know, we will cherish what we have. Yeah, so Lilamrita is not part of the like systematic study. Systematic study, part of it is Bhakti Shastri, which includes Bhagavad Gita, then Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, and Isopanishad. The four books together, Bhakti Shastri degree. Then after that, Bhakti Vaibhav degree, Srimad Bhagavatam for six cantos. Then there is Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Purushottama, all the things. So it's like, you know, like school we get degrees like systematically, you know, they establish the way to study and write exams and discuss your presentations like that.
So how many people are having that those type of degrees, like Bhakti, Vedanta,
here in this place or in general all over the world? Maybe there must be many people.
Maybe.
Yeah, at least Bhakti Shastri, like about maybe 20 of us have here.
Really?
Yeah. So we are all studying Bhakti Vaibhav now. Anyway, it's namesake. It's just what is important is sitting together with devotees and hearing Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and applying sincerely. That's all. So everybody forgot where we are, what we are doing.
Maya was acting too much on us, so we forgot everything. Because we were not reading coming, so Maya was more on us.
How many of you missed the class?
Which class?
Like
that's brutal.
Friday comes 7 o'clock. How many of you remembered? Oh, I wish.
I thought, you know, there was a class in the break and.
Oh, okay, that's good.
We totally forgot this class.
Okay. So, who will dare to recollect what we were discussing and summarize and give us a context? So, we were discussing third chapter.
even though he's not required to do prescribed duty, he does it so because people follow him.
Mm.
And if he didn't do that, then there will be
financial
gain.
So basically, he was he's emphasizing importance of performing one's duties, and then he gave two examples of people who perfected their. Actually, first one is a person who perfected his life by performing his duties perfectly. Who is that person? King Janaka, who's like Sita Mata's father, right? And the next example he gave is of himself, right? Where he doesn't have any need to do any duty, but still he performs his duty, right? And Krishna gives, you know, why he does his duty, because otherwise the whole world will put to ruination and it causes Varna Sankara, you know, unwanted population. Whereas Arjuna gave one reason, which, what is the reason Arjuna gave? Yeah, Arjuna says that if he fights a war, all men will be deceased, that may cause Varna Sankara, right? Because a woman will be exploited and unwanted population will be born. But whereas Krishna here is saying that, you know, if I don't do my duties, it will cause unwanted population. So essentially, Krishna is defeating Arjuna's argument. One of the arguments,
Maharaj,
right?
How does that happen? I didn't understand. Krishna doesn't do the duty. How does it lead to Varna Sankara?
Then everybody also will not do their duties. Then there is no, you know, rule. Everything is chaos. Then there is no rules, regulations, nothing, right? So then, for example, duties is Grihastha is to, you know, stay with one wife. If that is not there, then, right, like that. Okay. So, yeah, then, yeah, that's where we were leading to. Krishna was telling example, like, everybody will follow him because people follow great leaders. So people follow him and then they follow the wrong example he may be setting. So then we were just briefly touching upon verse number 24. Before that, actually Prabhu asked a very nice question which we didn't get chance to go deeper and answer. Do you remember the question you asked? I remember. Okay, first of all, Krishna says, on the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna always perfectly performed his duties, right? So then there was a contradictory, you know, some argument. Some may ask, like, you know, some instances Krishna seemingly violated Vedas,
yes,
or, you know,
right,
seemingly
yes,
did something which is contrary to moral code and conduct. Right? So how do we understand that, and what is the reasoning behind it? So we discussed two reasons. Who remembers this? First is, why does...
To protect devotees.
To please his devotees. So Krishna does anything and everything to please his devotees, and that comes to him top priority when compared to like pleasing a moralist. For him, whatever he does is a moral thing. That is dharma. Whatever he does is dharma. So for him, he doesn't care about what a, you know, future people talk about him, but what he cares about is to please his devotees. So for that reason, he took his weapon, right, in the war, and broke his vow that he did not take weapon against Bhishma. And so many other incidents, like he did so many things. And similarly, dancing with gopis, that's another example people think, you know, why Krishna, like, you know, he's very lusty, they may seemingly say, but there is nothing material in his dealings, it's completely spiritual, and that also because gopis wanted to exchange that kind of conjugal rasa with Krishna, and Krishna is reciprocating with them. So it's all for pleasing devotees. And what's the second reason? Yeah, to show that he is a supreme personality of Godhead. So he did some certain things which is above and beyond the laws of nature, just to set an example that, you know, I am not only so-called, people call me God, but I can show, demonstrate my opulence. For example, like lifting over the hill, or, you know, showing universal form, or, you know, killing Kalia. So many things he did, but at the same time, immediately, you know, he used to cover himself with internal potency. So Yashoda Mata, Nanda Maharaj, they should still think of him as child. Like, you know, the way Krishna showed his, the whole universe within his mouth. Just for a moment. And Yashoda Mata thought, like, oh, maybe, you know, I'm seeing things. immediately covers, because then she thinks that he is like, you know, Lord, worshipable Lord, right? The rasa changes. He wanted mother to treat him as a child, so then immediately he covers her. But then these instances are there for us to know that he is non-deity, he is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these are the two reasons why Krishna seemingly violates Vedas. This is very important for you to, you know, understand and note down, or if needed, because you know this, when you start teaching classes and all, people will ask these questions, or for your own deeper understanding and faith in Krishna.
There is a very deep verse that
That's what we covered actually. It's 3.22. That was in this 3.21. It's in the sequence. So after saying that, Krishna, essentially Krishna is telling Arjuna, you are so-called, you know, Kshatriya, and you are in a responsible position. You should do your duty. So everybody else will also follow. That's like a general verse Krishna gave. And similarly, he says that, you know, I also do the duty for the same reason, because everybody will follow me. Yeah, it's a very, very popular verse and often quoted.
It's also a memorization verse.
Yeah, one of the memorization verses. So we will
21?
Yeah. So we will cover 24 today. Yeah, so before that we'll come to the question Prabhu asked, if he remembers. I think I will learn much more than all of you in teaching the class. You were asking, so Krishna seemingly does certain things which are against the Vedas or something, right? Only devotees can understand, because we heard it from Acharyas. We get this deeper understanding, so we can understand, you know, then our faith increases. But common men, they don't have access to this knowledge, so they will get bewildered. So, you know, they're getting confused unnecessarily. So why is not Krishna helping them understand him? Right? Okay. So yeah, so the answer to this is, it's given in Bhagavad Gita itself. Briefly, it is that Krishna covers himself from such men purposefully, because he will be revealed only to pure devotees. Only devotional service can make him accessible to anyone. Otherwise, he doesn't care to be accessible to anyone. Because that's how they want to see Krishna. Common men, some people, they want to deny God. Some people, they want to treat God as a common person. So that's why he appears to them like that. But for a devotee who wants to serve him with love, Krishna reveals himself as he is. So the verses which substantiate this reasoning, we can note down, and you can for your own understanding. So one is, we'll just read the English. 7.25, where Krishna is saying how he is covered, right? The English is, I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them, I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. Actually, if you get time, you should read this purport of 7.25, especially the first paragraph, where Krishna, where Prabhupada says, you know, how when even when Krishna is present, people could not see him. Yeah. Okay, so please read 7.25 purport. Then in 9.11. Okay, Krishna says, అవజానంతి మాం మూఢా మనుషీం తను ఆశ్రితం పరం భావం అజానంతో మమ భూత మహేశ్వరం. 9.11. So where Krishna says, fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be. So Krishna is saying, manushim tanim tanum ashritam. So when I descend in the human form, people consider me as a normal person. So these are the two verses where Krishna says, you know, I'm covered for that. And the verse where he reveals, like, to whom he is revealing himself is 18.55. It shows that only devotees can understand him. Bhaktya maam abhijanati yavanyas chashni tatvataha tato maam tatvato jnatva vishate tad anantaram. One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So it's clear, right? So Krishna himself covers himself from common men because he is revealed only through devotional service. Only bhakti can make Krishna accessible.
But Maitreya is considered, how is he considered, normal or elevated?
Definitely elevated, but
he revealed himself to him or not, I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. He did it, yeah. He knows Maitreya accepts Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead. But within that also, he is a devotee. Within that also, there is gradation. For example, Krishna considers Uddhava as a greater devotee than compared to Maitreya. So he personally reciprocates more with Uddhava than Maitreya in that instant where both of them are present. So, you know, within that Krishna reciprocates according to our devotion. Because Uddhava has more spontaneous loving devotion towards Krishna than compared to Maitreya, which was mixed with monistic philosophy and karma, not karma, jnana basically. Okay, so that covered that last verse. So we'll come to this verse today, 24. You can recite the verse and come to the purport. So in 24, Krishna is still continuing. What happens if he doesn't perform his duties? And so the conclusion for us is, when there is a discrepancy between Krishna's words and Krishna's actions, we should follow what? When there is a discrepancy between Krishna's words and Krishna's actions, we should follow Krishna's words, not imitate his actions. Perform prescribed duties, all these worlds will be put to ruination. I would be the cause of creating unwanted population, and I would thereby destroy the peace of all living beings. What is it?
Purport. Varna Sankara is unwanted population which disturbs the peace of the general society. In order to check this social disturbance, there are prescribed rules and regulations by which the population can automatically become peaceful and organized for spiritual progress in life. When Lord Krishna descends, naturally he deals with such rules and regulations in order to maintain the prestige and necessity of such important performances. The Lord is the father of all living entities, and if the living entities are misguided, indirectly the responsibility goes to the Lord. Therefore, whenever there is general disregard of regulative principles, the Lord Himself descends and corrects the society.
We can pause there, Madhuri. So this is just brief, what you know, Sri Prabhupada is telling. What's the importance of having rules and regulations in the society? And Krishna himself takes personal responsibility to fix when things are going haywire. That's why when he himself comes, he abides by them. Because, you know, if he wants everybody to follow them, if he the boy lets, then nobody will follow. So we that verse we know, right? 4.6 Paritranaya Sadhuna Minashaya Minashaya Chatrishkita. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice and to re-establish religious principles, Krishna descends. 4.6 and 4.5. Right? So we can continue.
We should, however, note carefully that although we have to follow in the footsteps of the Lord, we still have to remember that we cannot imitate Him. Following and imitating are not on the same level. We cannot imitate the Lord by lifting Govardhana Hill as the Lord did in His childhood. It is impossible for any human being. We have to follow His instructions, but we may not imitate Him at any time.
You can read the translation.
One should simply follow the instructions of the Lord and His empowered servants. Their instructions are all good for us, and any intelligent person will perform them as instructed. However, one should guard against trying to imitate their actions. One should not try to drink the odor of poison in imitation of Lord Shiva.
Okay, so in this section of the purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining us, you know, two points, right? One is, or two themes. One is imitation and following. And he is saying that, you know, we should follow Krishna, but we should not imitate Him. Right? So everybody knows the difference between following and imitating. Can somebody define what is called imitating?
Following is following what he says. Imitating is doing like
exactly doing what he does. Yeah. Like for example, there are instances where some persons they said, you know, they called themselves Bhagavan and they were dancing with many girls or you know like that. That's just imitating whatever Krishna did. And but those people they cannot show universal form. They cannot lift Govardhana. Right. So they don't have. That's why Prabhupada later on in the purport he says, right, there are many incarnations of God without the power of Supreme Godhead. You're following and imitating. So we'll follow his instructions given in Bhagavad Gita. And another in the translation, that is given, one should not drink the ocean of poison in imitation of Lord Shiva. So that's what Prabhupada is going to describe more in the further section of the purport.
We should always consider the position of the Ishwaras or those who can actually control the movements of the sun and moon as superior. Without such power, one cannot imitate the Ishwaras who are super powerful. Lord Shiva drank poison to the extent of swallowing an ocean. But if any common man tries to drink even a fragment of such poison, he will be killed. There are many pseudo-devotees of Lord Shiva who want to indulge in smoking ganja, marijuana and similar intoxicating drugs, forgetting that by so imitating the acts of Lord Shiva, they are calling death very near. Similarly, there are some pseudo-devotees of Lord Krishna who prefer to imitate the Lord in His rasa lila or dance of love, forgetting their inability to lift Govardhana Hill. It is best, therefore, that one not try to imitate the powerful, but simply follow their instructions. Nor should one try to occupy their posts without qualification. There are so many incarnations of God without the power of the Supreme Godhead.
So here, Sri Prabhupada is giving two more examples. One is like about Ishwaras or you know, demigods. They also are empowered. They have certain powers. So we can't just imitate them. without having that power. And the second example is giving about Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva drank poison, so the followers of Lord Shiva cannot even drink poison, but they follow smoking this thing, saying, you know, we are followers of Lord Shiva, so that's improper. And similarly, followers of Lord Krishna, they try to imitate him by dancing with the gopis without having ability to lift the Govardhan hill. And Srila Prabhupada is giving us a practical instruction for us that one should not try to imitate the powerful, but simply follow their instructions. So for us, anyway, mostly we will not dare to imitate Krishna. Like, you know, we know we are not so capable. But what we do is, we try to imitate others little bit more powerful than us within our community. Like, you know, we try to imitate devotees who are within our reach. No, we'll think, oh, I can do like them. Like, you know, sometimes, maybe, you know, if somebody fasts Nirjala on every Ekadashi, like, oh, okay, I want to do like her or him, like them, right? So that's imitation. Or, you know, somebody says, oh, I will also go to Mangalarti every day, or something like that. So that is, so we can practically apply it ourselves. Like, you know, from that we should, from those examples, we can take inspiration. How I can improve my sadhana from where I am at, instead of jumping to exactly doing what they do. Then it becomes imitation. Then we cannot sustain. Until we have the qualification or qualities, we cannot sustain it long term. But what we can get, what is following their, what does it mean to follow their then? What does it mean to follow them? Because let's say somebody is, doing, they read Bhagavad Gita every day, or they chant very nicely every day, or something very nicely they do, which we want to do, let's say. How do we follow them?
Look to the external tweet and not exactly
what. Yeah. So basically apply the essence into our lives. What is the essence? Essence is they want to sincerely serve Krishna with devotion, right? So that essence I will apply in my life wherever I am at. So if I'm chanting 4 rounds, I will chant those 4 rounds nicely, or increase my rounds, gradually increase and come to that stage. So then that is following. Otherwise, it's imitation. So this actually, I don't know whether you have encountered, but more you stay in the temple, soon you'll get into this. You'll figure out actually, I'm trying to imitate this person, or I want to be like that person, or
But might be possible. Sometimes we think we are following, but we are imitating.
Yes.
Like in day-to-day life, I think.
Let's
say chanting example. Like, let's say for like a beginner like me, okay, someone is saying, okay, I'm chanting 5, I'm chanting 6, I will say, okay, I will also increase. So I'm trying to imitate, right? Or I'm trying to follow, I don't know. It's a very thin line difference to kind of imitate as well and follow as well, in this example.
But at least
I am stopping at some bar where I know this is beyond my capacity right now. So it's kind of follow, means it's not imitating. If someone is doing 16, I'm not doing 16, but
yeah,
I know my
good
strength as well.
So it's follow.
I will do it gradually.
Yes, gradually, yes. So that's following. And also the difference is sincerity. If am I doing it just to show to others, like, maybe if somebody is there, I'll do, but otherwise I do only 3 rounds, then it becomes imitation only completely.
That is not
the sincerity is the factor.
But Mataji, did you say that imitating from people who are a little above us is good, or not? We should even imitate
them. We can imitate the principle.
As long as we follow the principle and theme.
We can imitate the essence or the principle. That becomes following again.
Yeah, so
but
I'm
not
so
exactly
imitating overall is kind of stable, following
is. Yeah. Because otherwise we cannot sustain. If we follow, we can sustain, because we'll take it at our level and take it at a pace we are comfortable with. If we imitate, then because they're sustaining with their own devotion and their own qualities and their own blessings, we cannot suddenly jump into their boat. Yeah, so we can continue the purport. We finished, right?
Yeah.
So that's the proposition. There are so many incarnations of God without the power of Supreme Godhead. So there are so many Bhagavans. If you say, you know, many people call themselves Bhagavan. But Bhagavan is meant to be addressed only to the Supreme God. Bhagavan Rajneesh, Bhagavan this, Bhagavan that.
But why the also the Sri, all of this, this also has the same connotation, right? People are trying to...
Sri is Lakshmi Devi, yeah.
Isn't that trying to distinguish yourself from the
common When you say Sri Maan something, then probably actually...
This is
for... Yeah, just Sri is, I don't think by itself is...
So, why don't you?
Like there has to be some
oh,
kind of an importance
yeah,
associated
that's
with
true.
That.
I don't know much.
That's also kind of a comparison. I'm closer to God
yeah,
than a common person.
But I'm more respectful than you. Respectable than
to some extent.
Yeah. That's right. Okay. So, that's good. Okay. So we'll continue with the next... next section actually. We'll start with the next section. So 25 to 32, Krishna is going to discuss about attached worker and detached worker and how a detached person should relate to a person who is attached. So this is like a section you can write in, you know, the theme. He's going to compare attached and detached worker, and also he's going to tell us how a detached worker should relate to a person who is attached. So this gives us a lot of practical instructions in our day-to-day life. We'll discuss that. Yeah. So he's going to compare attached worker and detached worker.
Worker.
Worker means a performer of duty. A person who is attached to results versus person who is not attached. He's comparing both of them, and also he's telling us how a detached person should relate to a person who is attached. Okay, so we'll start with 25. As the ignorant perform their duties with attachment to results, the learned may similarly act but without attachment for the sake of leading people on the right path. So here Krishna is telling about, you know, how does an ignorant act and how does a learned person or a detached worker act and why does he act. So he's saying ignorant person, he performs his duties with attachment to results. No sense gratification, right? I do something, I want to enjoy the results. But whereas the learned, he also performs his duties or, you know, activities, but without attachment. Why? Because he wants to lead people in the right path. Setting example again, same thing. For the sake of setting example. If you read the purport, it will be very clear.
A person in Krishna consciousness and a person not in Krishna consciousness are differentiated by different desires. A Krishna conscious person does not do anything which is not conducive to development of Krishna consciousness. He may even act exactly like the ignorant person who is too much attached to material activities, but one is engaged in such activities for the satisfaction of his sense gratification, whereas the other is engaged for the satisfaction of Krishna. Therefore, Krishna conscious person is required to show the people how to act and how to engage the results of action for the purpose of Krishna consciousness.
So very important points here. One point Srila Prabhupada is telling is that, you know, seemingly activities may be same for a Krishna conscious person and non-Krishna conscious person. But what is the difference?
Desires
and consciousness. Essentially consciousness and also desires. So one is desiring their own sense gratification. Other Krishna conscious person is desiring satisfaction of Krishna. So he is doing the same work with the same or even actually more effort and more diligence and more caution and more sincerity because it is for Krishna. But whereas for us, sometimes, you know, when we feel like it, we do. When we don't feel like we do, we don't do it. If it's for our sense gratification. Let's say someday I didn't sleep well, then, you know, I'm not so good at work, right? Even the work I'm doing for my sense gratification, but I have so much room to play around. But if I'm really doing it for Krishna, you know, whatever is the circumstances, I will be motivated to do it. Because it's doing out of devotion or love, if you have that much love. Right? So it's not activity. So that's the main thing we all understand, right? It's not the activity which differentiates people. Just by looking at the activity, we cannot say that's another pitfall we all fall into as practicing devotees. Like seeing others doing things, we may feel, okay, he is, you know, he is a karmi, or, you know, he is not so advanced, or he is doing this job. Or, you know, we judge people based on activities. But actually, what matters is the consciousness. So that's why Srila Prabhupada said there is no difference in service to Krishna is absolute. You know, like somebody sweeping the temple is as dear to Krishna as a person who is, you know, dressing Krishna on the altar. Right? So Krishna doesn't see service is absolute. Because all the way what it matters is the consciousness and the sincerity and the devotion. So similarly, we also should be careful in judging people based on the activities. Because we cannot judge the consciousness. Unless somebody, that's why, you know, we have to hear from the Vaishnavas, then only we know where their consciousness is and they speak. Otherwise, we cannot judge, you know. We may, like for example, I can tell my own practical example. We have our senior god sister from whom I learned so much, right? And she's hot tempered, or, you know, always seemingly very angry person, or, you know, gets irritated quite a bit. Initially I used to be so, and I am like seemingly very soft person, you know, when anybody says anything I get hurt. And I had to, you know, do lot of service together with her, and it was for my own purification, and it helped me a lot in growing my own Krishna consciousness. But during that period, it was very tough for me, you know, exactly opposite character, and she is seemingly very, very, you know, autocratic and demanding, you know, if you give this task, it has to be done, otherwise she'll follow up, and, you know, what's happening, oh, Krishna. So, and after I went through the phase, when what I really understood is, her Krishna consciousness. All in seemingly in all these things, what she cares about is that service has to be done properly, and and her mood is to train me, not about demanding or controlling. Seemingly it was demanding or controlling, but it was not. So because I was a neophyte, I used to judge things by the activity. So, okay, she's now, she's controlling me, or she's demanding me, or, you know, why I should listen to her, why I should submit. No, but, yeah, some of you know. But later on, when I got enough purified, I got revealed of her, true Krishna consciousness. Now, how sweet she is, and how much service-minded she is, actually. Yeah, so we may also encounter such mistakes, you know, as we come closer to devotees. Initially, you know, when we come, we feel everybody is a pure devotee. Now, after some time, we find so many mistakes in everyone. Oh, this person, he doesn't come to Mangal Arati every day, or he comes 5 minutes late. No, every day, or, you know, so many things we find to offend devotees. So we should be careful in not doing that, because devotees are very, very special, very precious.
But in the same example, if we try to imitate the same thing, then we are offending the devotee as well, right?
Yeah.
Maybe in your example,
yeah,
like
if I fight back,
the mode is like different.
Exactly.
Train you, but like, let's say if we are trying to imitate the same thing, we think, okay, we are doing a good job to train another.
Yes. But we may actually be exercising control. We may be actually doing it to exercise control.
Yes.
Because we don't have that purity as her. She could do it and get away without getting offenses because she has a pure intent.
Intention.
Yeah, but I may be doing with intention to dominate or something, so I will get reactions. That's what happens with imitation.
But Mataji, it doesn't like a devotee. I would have looked upon as a devotee would have, it's an integral quality of a devotee to be sweet natured and to be cooperative and be respectful, isn't it?
Yeah.
So how come those qualities of her did not mellow down over the time that she became pure?
Actually, though,
that is so deeply ingrained.
No. See, that's again another thing, no? All the qualities can be applied in Krishna service. It's not that...
All characteristics are...
Yeah, exactly. As long as we apply them in Krishna service, they are purified actually. We are... except envy, everything else can be applied in Krishna service. Like anger can be applied in Krishna service. And everything can be applied... Exactly. Can be, yeah, in as long as... The essence is the pure intent. If that is there, then you know she will be protected. Yes, and the outcome will be also very fruitful. If she didn't have a pure intent, the outcome would be, you know, I would have, you know, left Krishna consciousness. No, why should I deal with this person? No, what is this? This is what devotees are. No, I'm supposed to be treated so well, and you know, I came, I left so many things, and I'm chanting 16 rounds. I left tea, coffee. But you know, but because her intent is pure, I remain. And maybe
same
some
example. Mata's intent is pure only.
He's correct. It is my lamentation. No, I didn't take it. I didn't take it like that.
Yeah. So that's good, right? So practically, we should also be guarding against these things. You know, judging people by their activities. And what else is the other points here? Yeah, and why does a Krishna conscious person has to act? Because he has to show people how to act and how to engage the results of his action for the purpose of Krishna consciousness. That's why we were telling, right? There are, you know, we need ideal grihasthas in the community. So others can understand, the whole world, the whole society is looking up to, you know, how by working and by taking care of children, still you can remain Krishna conscious, still you can do all your activities, and still, for example, still you can, whenever you go out, cook and go. Like initially when I heard this, it was insurmountable, you know, if you're going for 3 days trip, how can you cook so much and or plan so many things such that you can sustain with prasadam for 3 days?
It happens actually.
Yeah, gradually it's possible because of, you know, when we see those examples, we think it's practical, it's practicable. All these principles of not eating outside, eating only prasadam, these are possible when we see such examples. Okay, so, and another thing for us is like, so as practicing devotees, we are also actually representing Srila Prabhupada and, you know, Krishna. So wherever outside, wherever we are, we should be mindful of that. Because, you know, people follow, right? People follow. So because we are wearing neck beads and we are chanting and wearing tilak, they think we are representative of Krishna. And whatever we do, you know, it affects them. Or it affects them in coming closer or going far away from Krishna. Especially it applies, you know, outside we may so-called behave good, but in families, you know, when we go to our in-laws or, you know, there, especially, you know, now these days when I fight with my mother-in-law, my husband keeps saying, you know, this is the example you're setting, you know, is she going to go back and think, you know, devotees are going to be like this, or she's going to think, you know, I have to be like her. So that's where our real Krishna consciousness comes about. Yes. So we have great responsibility.
The answer is to make the mother-in-law devotee too.
Yeah. But what kind of a devotee is not like my me, right? So that's the whole thing. I have to be
both
a better devotee.
Fight in a devotional way.
Okay, so we'll go to the next verse. So if we have time. Yeah, we have time. This verse also is very, very practical instructions for us. So as not to disrupt the minds of ignorant men attached to the fruitive results of prescribed duties, a learned person should not induce them to stop work. Rather, by working in the spirit of devotion, he should engage them in all sorts of activities for the gradual development of Krishna consciousness. So here Krishna is telling us how a detached person should relate to a person who is attached. He is giving a practical instruction. Like he is saying that a person who is ignorant, he is attached to the results. Attached to the results of prescribed duties. So that person, and whereas other person who is detached, he should not stop, he should not urge them to stop doing their activities. A detached person should not tell the attached person to stop doing prescribed duties or stop doing activities. I will elaborate a little further. And next point is, but what he should do rather is, he should work in devotion and at the same time engage them in Krishna conscious activities. So engage them wherever they are at. So for example, instead of now we know philosophy a little bit, so we go to somebody and say, oh, you're working, you're earning so much money, you're enjoying, it's all you're going to get karma, you're not going to take anything back when you die. So what's the purpose of this work? Now just give up and become a full-time devotee, right? So that is, the principle is correct, the philosophy is correct, right? But we are now urging people to stop work when they are not qualified. What does Krishna say about that? It's like a mithyachari, right? They will be a false pretender because their desires are not fulfilled and they are not pure enough to give up work. But rather, how we can help them is, okay, you are attached to certain work, that's good. No, keep doing it. Some way you can ask them to connect to Krishna, either you can contribute to this project or, you come and do service in temple or there is some festival going on, can you sponsor? Right? Engage their propensity in Krishna service. And Harivilas Prabhu is expert in that. Right? He has so many diverse ways of creating projects. He can engage so many skill set, people with so many skill sets. Like one example I can clearly remember is Ekta Mataji and Sanjay Prabhu. I don't know how many people are. No, they initially, when they started, they had this skill of art. So somehow they got in touch and Harivilas Prabhu started Kumbh Mela. Then he suddenly, and they are very much into miniature art, and so much they can devote like so many hours in making paintings and decorating paintings and all those things. And for so many years, fully, for 10-15 days, they were fully devoted in doing this. And then now they are full-time devotees. Like that. Engaging that specific skill they have in Krishna service. So that advanced person that Srila Prabhupada is telling here, this detached person or the person who is very advanced, he has that ability to engage others in Krishna conscious activities. So we can read the purport and we'll get some practical instructions for us. Okay. Sure.
Vedas ka sarvaya aham iva vedaya. That is the end of all Vedic rituals. All rituals, all performances of sacrifices and everything that is put into the Vedas, including all direction of material activities, are meant for understanding Krishna, who is the ultimate goal of life. But because the conditioned souls do not know anything beyond sense gratification, they study the Vedas to that end. But through fruitive activities and sense gratification, regulated by the Vedic rituals, one is gradually elevated to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, a realized soul in Krishna consciousness should not disturb others in their activities or understanding, but he should act by showing how the results of all work can be dedicated to the service of Krishna.
We can pause there. So here what Srila Prabhupada is telling, first is, you know, the goal of all the Vedas is to understand Krishna. That, you know, that verse, Vedaischa, it's actually it's pronounced as Cha. Vedaischa sarvair ahameva vedya. So this verse you can note down if you want. It's 15:15. Bhagavad Gita 15:15. So where Krishna says that, you know, I'm the goal of the Vedas. We can just read the translation. I am seated in everyone's heart and from me come remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta and I am the knower of the Vedas. So here Krishna is saying, by all the Vedas, I am to be the known. So basically the goal of studying all the Vedas is to understand Krishna. But then, what conditioned souls do is, because of their attachment to sense gratification, they use Vedas in order to fulfill their desires. Because that's what Vedas, 99% of the Vedas give, a gradual way to purify the desires. A gradual way to fulfill the desires, at the same time purify, get purified. So conditioned souls use the prescribed duties to that extent. But at the same time, because that gives a gradual purification, they should not stop doing that. So if somebody stops them from doing it, actually they are disrupting their journey. So that's why, you know, Srila Prabhupada is telling an advanced person in Krishna consciousness should not disturb others. Rather, what he should do, he should act by, he should basically set a right example. We'll come to that example in a minute. So now, practical thing for us is, like, for example, when we go to India or when we meet people, right, we see some, our family members, many of them, they are attached to demigod worship or some worship or something or the other, right? So we can directly start telling philosophy, okay, you know,
stop doing
all this. You know, these are demigods, you know, they will give things which are temporary. You can quote all the verses, you know, 7th chapter, 9th chapter, temporary things which are going to punya, you know, and Krishna calls them alpa medasha, you know, less intelligence, you know, all this.
Yeah, even, I'll tell you, we were going to LA, this is what my wife was asking, so why are there so many different gods? And she has attended device, she's asking why are there so many people worshipping other things? So I told her, I don't know all why other people are doing that, but Krishna is saying do this, so I am doing this. You do what you want. That's what I do.
Yeah.
So I think that's the, you see who is saying and you decide what you want to do. Then.
Yeah, because different people have different, things to fulfill. There are different ways Krishna created to, you know, get their sense gratification done. But at the same time, by worshipping somebody, they'll get purified like that. So, but if now if you stop them from doing it, first of all, they'll become insane because they have doing it out of sentiment. If one Saturday I don't do certain thing, then, you know, whole rest of the week I'll keep thinking because of that this happened, because of that this happened. Right? So, let them do that, but somehow, you know, gradually connect them to Krishna, or, you know, tell them, you know, along with this, okay, chant one round. Along with this, you know, you eat prasadam. Along with this, you do some service to Krishna. Then gradually when they get the knowledge and when they get the adhikar, because many people, they don't have the adhikar to accept Krishna. They don't have, adhikar means qualification. It's not easy for somebody to come and accept Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead. If somebody is not doing it, means they are not yet qualified to come to that stage. So we should be compassionate. Compassionate and try to, you know, bring them up, or, you know, somehow be merciful and connect them rather than saying, you know, okay, you, I don't have anything to do with you, you are worshipping demigod, I don't care about you. Yeah. So that's something practically we can apply, you know, from this verse, because we are not as advanced here, but I can see something practically we can apply. And rest of the purport, Srila Prabhupada, what is going to tell is about, you know, how a detached person should act, or, you know, in a way which will help others. We'll read the purport and I will elaborate the points.
The learned Krishna conscious person may act in such a way that the ignorant person working for sense gratification may learn how to act and how to behave. Although the ignorant man is not to be disturbed in his activities, a slightly developed Krishna conscious person may directly be engaged in the service of the Lord without waiting for other Vedic formulas. For this fortunate man, there is no need to follow the Vedic rituals, because by direct Krishna consciousness, one can have all the results one would otherwise derive from following one's prescribed duties.
Okay, so now if you read this purport very carefully, you will see Prabhupada is telling us how a advanced Krishna conscious person should act. So first one is, he should not stop others from doing their activities. That's first point, right? That we discussed in the earlier section of the purport. Second one is, which we discussed just now, is he should show others, basically he should set an example. He should show an example of how results of work should be engaged in Krishna service. See, that is like, you know, fifth line, right? But he should act in such a way that results of all work are dedicated service to Krishna. So that is the one point, right? That sub bullet of second point. And the next point is, he should act, set an example in such a way that the other person should know how to act and how to behave. And if he is advanced enough, he should engage others in Krishna conscious activities. Right? So these are the four. If we are learned Krishna conscious persons, what we have to do is, first thing is, we should not disturb them where they are at. We should not disturb their activity. Second one, we should set an example by of how to act, how to behave, and how to engage results in Krishna service. And the next point is, we should engage them in Krishna conscious activities to the extent possible. And the last part of the purport, Srila Prabhupada is telling, you know, how we need not tell them about again Vedas and, you know, do this Karmakanda process and then you will eventually come to Krishna. What the Prabhupada is telling, you can directly engage them in Krishna's service. So, you know, the elevator path versus, you were telling, right, why, you know, we even have this Karmakanda when this is the right thing. Yeah, so we need not tell them about the indirect path, we can directly tell them the Krishna conscious path and give them the final thing.
There is a very basic core where we started with was all about soul, right? And I mean, that is the grounding of everything else that is coming in. If we want to approach anybody without that knowledge, the approach towards God outside is very material. Like, if you do this, you get that. You have to make Saraswati happy, otherwise, you know, she'll be unhappy and you won't be able to go.
Material, yeah.
It's all very material. Mm. And the grounding is in the concept of soul in chapter 2 in the beginning. So if that is not there, then you can't really go and tell anybody anything, right?
So
I would actually argue, like, you can't just go and preach to anybody. You just have to follow verse 21, which is
let's set an example.
So that's the thing, that is the core of everything.
Yes.
So people find value in you and what you're doing, they all automatically come to you. Otherwise,
exactly, correct. Yes. Yeah, that's what, very nice, yeah. So we should focus on, instead of, you know, initially we are so enthusiastic, you know, we learn something, just want to, especially mostly for our ego, you know, we just want to say, you know, I know Krishna, I'm better than you. That's actually main essence in first preaching into anyone, actually. More than helping them or more than compassion and, oh, I want to be like Prabhupada, I want to give you Krishna. It's not at all that. More it's like, you know, I know Krishna, I'm better than you. That's what it is. So in that context, we actually put them off or, you know, shut them off or show ourselves as puffed up and things like that. But, you know, if we are compassionate, we know, then rather we will work on ourselves. How can I be, that's the homework I have to do at home. How can I be a better person such a way that that can inspire them to take up devotion. Right? That's the way we can really preach. That is preaching by example. We can preach by words, but if our example is not worthy, there's no value. But if we preach by example, then that inspiration will stay with them forever.
But isn't this contradictory to what we just said? We said we should, in the case of God or people greater than us, we should follow their instructions and not follow their actions. But here with examples, actually you are setting an example by your actions.
Yeah, so we are setting an example by our actions.
So it is not what if you were just empty conversation, but you don't really do things.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that.
Yes.
You are letting people follow through your actions.
Yes. Letting people follow, not imitate again. Yeah.
Yeah, not imitate again. But here it is in the opposite of what we. In case of, I think, following, you follow that strategy.
Huh.
But in
yeah.
case of teaching.
Yes. Correct.
You do it with
yeah.
actions.
Right? Correct. Yeah, very nice. Very nice correlation.
So, I mean, I just
yeah.
thought it was the right opposite.
Oh, very nice. Yeah.
If you see the other perspective, if they are worshipping demigod, it's not such a bad thing. It's
yeah.
itself is a good thing.
Yeah,
like
exactly. When compared to not doing anything, when compared to, you know, don't care about, you know, there is no God, nobody is superior, I'm God, or, you know, I'm doer. When compared to those things, accepting somebody and worshipping somebody and pray, having the habit of praying.
They are not
that, yes.
feeling themselves, we are God. They
exactly,
are
yes.
God
that itself
God
is a step higher. That better.
Yeah.
But the only thing is who they are worshipping and how much they know about what they are doing. Do all those things.
Actually, I heard a one funny example in this concept in one of the lectures. There is one girl, she is about to get married. And the family, the boy's family, they'll come to her house for some party. And she was serving first her father-in-law. He asked some tea, so she's giving to him. And by that time, her husband, like
would be husband,
he will ask, "Can you give me some water?" "No, no, wait, I'm serving father-in-law. You need to wait." Then her mother-in-law will ask something, and she'll be making tea for her. And in the same way, her husband will ask, "Can you give me some water?" Then she will say, "No, I'm serving your mom. Give me some time." So totally she will ignorant to about him, and she'll serving all the other people. So in the same way, like, he is like Krishna and all others are demigods. So if you forget Krishna, there's a problem. And if you forget demigods also, there's a problem. So while serving Krishna, if any other coming, like, we need to respect them and go to the Krishna. So if you ignore all of them also, it's a problem. If you respect only that person also, it's a problem. So that's what
very nice. Yeah. Yeah, so we are not... we are not disrespectful to demigods. No,
demigods,
like,
are like a very senior devotee.
Yes. Yeah.
All demigods. That's the reason they got that high.
Yes, exactly. They are very pious, pious and mixed devotees. Not pure devotees, some of them are.
What do you mean by not pure?
Pure devotee means like, pure devotee means no other desire for themselves. They just want to serve Krishna. But they have mixed desires. That's why, you know, they give yajnas so that, you know, they get. Right? Where Krishna says, right, you know, I created men and demigods. So mutually they satisfy each other. So they need that pat on the back. They want that yajnas to be performed for them. That's their gratification.
Okay.
But some of them are pure, like Brahma, our Brahma is pure, like that.
Our Brahma is pure, it means other Brahma is not pure.
Yeah, some of them. Brahma is a post, right?
Yeah,
so
I know there are so many Brahma.
Yeah.
Then you are
other
saying
universes.
Our Brahma is pure, I mean, I'm.
Like in this
pure.
Universe, currently there is one Brahma,
yes.
He is pure.
That's true, but why other Brahmas are not pure? Because it's the same kind of position, right? Brahma.
Position is same, but the person is person, right?
Oh, you are saying that current person is good and maybe future person will be good.
Yeah, because one of us has been a Brahma, so we can understand. One of us has been. Yeah. So yeah, so we should, there is a saying where we say that we should be liberal to others and strict with ourselves, but we do the reverse actually. We will usually be strict with others and liberal to ourselves.
Easy.
Right? Any small thing, you know, we say, oh, yeah, that's okay, I didn't sleep well, that's why, you know, I did this or something. And but we are ready to, you know, chastise, you know, our kids, all those things, eager to chastise them. Right? Because we want to make them Krishna conscious first without working on ourselves. But best way to teach them is for us to become Krishna conscious. I think we can stop here, right? Any questions or comments, or anybody wants to share their New Year resolutions or any new, no, inspiration for the New Year?
I chanted every day this year, but I can't say this in the next class.
Oh, this year. Must stay in the year, 2 days.
Madani, you did little partial thing.
Why?
You just gave the resolution to one
you. That is a high thing. Everybody else can.